We plan to go up north as far as, I think, Basswood Lake. Yeah, paddle up in the river, stay there, relax, and then come back.
Zolt Damakos says there's nothing like this back home in Hungary, a place with lakes so clean you can lean down and drink. Zolt is a four-trip veteran, one of 200,000 canoeists who will paddle into the boundary waters this summer.
That's the place where people can really be out of time. You can hide yourself. There's no time here, and when we go back to the city, we just are surprised that the whole weekend is gone.
A canoeist gliding through the BWCA might see moose, loons, bear, or beaver. What he won't see is clear cuts, mining trucks, roads, or resorts. All were here, all are gone. Tourists don't see the 60 years of environmental lobbying, the sometimes sneaky politics, or the painful cost of preservation. Canoe outfitter Bill Rahm, long retired, remembers a wilderness fast going to ruin.
Resorts were popping up all over within the boundary waters. Back in the late 20s, they had proposed a road from the Fernberg to the Gunflint, right across the middle of the boundary waters. And of course, there would have been side roads and everything else. It would have been ruined.
In fact, in 1923, developers wanted a road to every lake in the wilderness, a plan routed by the Isaac Walton League and emerging conservationists Sigurd Olson and Aldo Leopold. It was the first idea in what would become a half century of incursions and retreats, an ebb and flow of noise and silence. Hydroelectric dams were proposed and defeated. Logging and mining, two basics of the local economy, were restricted. By the late 40s, says Bill Rahm, even wilderness tourism was threatening the wilderness. A profusion of fly-in resorts had made Ely the busiest inland floatplane base in the world. When environmentalists fought for a ban on flights into the boundary waters, many locals were fed up with wilderness advocates like Sig Olson and Rahm himself.
Sig, after the air ban, he was hung in effigy at one time in Ely. They blocked our whole street.
Logging trucks.
They blockaded our street so our customers couldn't get in the store. Had signs, run the bum Rahm out of town. Here, I'm a local here, born and raised here.
We don't use the word environmentalist here, okay, because that kind of puts flags up for people.
Mike Hillman's family has been in Ely four generations. His great-grandparents were among the first miners to arrive in the late 19th century. He remembers the boundary waters of the 50s and early 60s as a quiet place after the air ban, a place used mostly by those who lived on its edges.
You've got to realize that in 1967, Ely was still a mining community, okay? Mm-hmm. There were so few regular visitors. 1968, Bill Rahm went on a canoe trip. Argosy magazine proclaimed him the canoe king. All over America, these magazines, you could come up on a canoe trip, no rules. Stay as long as you want. You could get complete outfitting for something like $7 or $8 a day. You could eat like a king. You could catch as many fish as you possibly wanted. They came by the thousands.
Suddenly, Hillman says, you could hardly find a campsite in the boundary waters. By the mid-70s, conservation groups were pushing for a new law, one to reduce motor access to the wilderness, prohibit mineral exploration, and end logging altogether. Again, Ely residents bridled at the prospect of restrictions from Washington. There were more effigy burnings, and this furious protest during a visit from pro-wilderness politicians just before passage of the 1978 Boundary Waters Act. Frank Salerno was Ely's mayor at the time. He says the Boundary Waters Act still frustrates him, not simply because of its restrictions, but because local residents had no voice in its passage. He says they were simply steamrolled by an autocratic and well-funded environmental lobby.
They were beating us to death with dollar bills. I mean, to go to Hollywood, California, to people who are living in a fantasy world, and tell them, you've got to help us save the wilderness in northeastern Minnesota, and have the Robert Redfords and others write checks and have fundraisers and everything else because they don't know the first thing about northeastern Minnesota or what's going on here, but their well, it doesn't run dry.
Ah, seeing the nest there? Now, there's eggshells in there now, so we may see the young around if they in fact survive.
Retired U.S. Forest Service officer Paul Smith is out this afternoon checking a loon nest near his home on the edge of the BWCA. It was his job to help enforce the new regulations, to confront those who'd motored in illegally or paddled in without a permit. Though many locals hated the new law, Smith says they were consistently treated unfairly in media reports, characterized as six-pack bumpkins anxious to wreck the wilderness.
You know, Ely's only 100 years old. You know, people did what they wanted. It was a hard life. You know, they worked hard in the mines and logging. They drank hard. They lived hard. It was a hard life. And they were used to doing what they wanted to. A lot of them came from the old country where they were suppressed, and they'd had enough of that. And we all rebel when we get to a certain point of, hey, I've had enough of your regulations or rules. Ah, there's the loon and the young one.
Rebellion or not, the Boundary Waters Act brought change. The government bought out resorts within the wilderness. It ended logging, phased out snowmobiling, and reduced motor access. It threw a curve at outfitters like Gary Gotchnik, who supplied motorboats and snow machines for a living.
It was like chopping your arms off when it happened. You know, just boom, you couldn't do that anymore. And you've been doing it, you know, for many years, and my father was doing it all of his life. So you have to go out and find a new customer base.
But Gotchnik has found his new customer base, and gradually much of Ely has done the same. The BWCA is now one of the most popular wilderness areas in the country. Northwest Airlines flies daily all summer between Ely and the Twin Cities, so you can get on a plane in Miami in the morning and be fighting the deer flies by sundown, or shopping for mucklucks, or drinking cappuccino, or buying up real estate. Some tourists forgo the Boundary Waters completely and just stay at the new Holiday Inn. All this growth, some say, has taken the sting from the 1978 law that set aside the BWCA wilderness, though there are still regular flare-ups about motor regulations or how many canoeists should be allowed in one group. The bigger problem locally has become how to handle the new prosperity, how to grow wisely. Ely historian Mike Hillman says most people here have come to understand they can't go back. But it doesn't hurt to wish.
For some people, they believe that there's going to be a polka ghost dance prophet that is coming here, and that if they close the curtains on the bar, and if they religiously and fervently dance all night long, that come the morning we'll open up the curtains and everybody will be gone and it'll be 1957 again.
Ely historian Mike Hillman, this is Leif Anger for Main Street Radio. The book.